These words have been described as the most beautiful confession of love in all the world. Ruth makes this marvelous commitment to Naomi, and there are three marks of loving commitment that I want us to see in these last moments.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today. Colin, that's a big statement. The most beautiful confession of love. You got to read what that is. What are these words?
These are the wonderful words that Ruth spoke to her mother-in-law, Naomi, as she made a commitment of love to remain with her. And she said, "For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." That is beautiful, and it is a grand statement of loving commitment, and it's at the very heart of the story. And God used it. God used it for the good of Ruth. She was making a sacrificial commitment, but because she made a sacrificial commitment, she entered into blessing from God that she could never have imagined. It's a beautiful story, and I'm so glad we're getting the chance to pursue it today.
Well, let's do that. Ruth chapter 1 is where we're going to be in your Bible, so join us there as we continue our message entitled Love. Here is Pastor Colin.
Love considers. It considers because it seeks the blessing of God on others. It puts the interests of others before its own. It never forces its will on another person. And love considers in that it is candid about the cost of commitment. This is really important. Verse 11, Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, well, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Now, you see what Naomi is doing here. She wants to test their hearts. Now, here are these women, and they're coming with me on this journey. But is this really what they want to do? Have they thought through what this commitment actually will involve? Life in the Promised Land may well be harder for Orpah and for Ruth than either of them thinks. And so Naomi is candid about the cost. If they continue in this journey, the chances of them finding another husband will be very slim. Naomi has some land, of course, but if they come back with her, they are going to have to work. Life in the Promised Land will not be easy. And you see, this is one of the problems, isn't it? That if people have come to faith on the basis of bloated promises that go beyond what we are told in Scripture, and then find that they face some of the difficulties and trials of life that every Christian experiences, there's a reaction. Why? Because they were brought in under false pretenses. Those who led them to faith were not candid about the cost of commitment. But Naomi lays out the cost because she's modeling love here as Jesus does when he lays out the cost of commitment to us. You remember in the Gospels, you see this so many times. A man comes to Jesus full of enthusiasm. "I will follow you," he says, "wherever you go." And Jesus' answer to him is, "Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." You see what he's saying? You'd better know what you're letting yourself in for. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Now what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, go sell all that you have." In other words, you had better realize that this will cost you everything. Everything. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ being candid about the cost of commitment. So love considers. It seeks the blessing of God on others. It places the interests of others above its own. It never forces its will on another person. It is candid about the cost of commitment. Now, the second thing that we see in this story as we move the focus from Naomi to Orpah is that love chooses. Verse 14, then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Now, Orpah is a very sad example of temporary faith. Temporary faith. Ruth and Orpah had both come under the influence of Naomi, and there's good reason to believe that they had both made some kind of profession of faith in the Lord, as we saw last time. But the difference between them was very simply this, that Ruth persevered and Orpah turned back. Temporary faith. And notice that Naomi says here, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Now, notice that Naomi does not tell Orpah to go back to her gods. A godly woman could never have said such a thing, and Naomi certainly didn't. But as Orpah kisses Naomi goodbye and walks into the distance, Naomi discerns her heart. She recognizes what is happening. Orpah is going back to what she loves the most, her own people and her own gods. Now, Jesus spoke about what I'm describing as temporary faith in the parable of the sower. You remember that some seed fell on shallow soil and it grew up and it seemed to be doing very well for a while, but it didn't have any depth of root. And so in the end, it withered. And then there was other seed that sprung up and again seemed to be doing very well, but it ended up being choked because it found itself among many weeds. And there are many examples of temporary faith in the Bible. John 6 is one example. The crowds that experienced the miracle in which the Lord Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, they were so amazed that they followed the Lord Jesus Christ for a while. But as you read through John in chapter 6, you'll see that Jesus speaks to them candidly about the uniqueness of his claims, their absolute dependence upon his grace, and then most of them turn back. And at the end of the chapter, Jesus says to his disciples, are you going to go away too? And you remember Peter gave that wonderful response, Lord, to whom would we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Now, temporary faith looks like the real thing. The difference is it doesn't last. Orpah had a genuine love for Naomi, no doubt. She had set out on the journey. At one point, then, evidently, she was ready to make real sacrifices to follow the Lord, but something was missing. And when she looked at other options, she found herself in two minds. Part of her wanted to believe and follow. Part of her wanted to turn back. She was torn. And in the end, she made her decision. She kissed Naomi, and she went back home. Love chooses, and we all choose what we love the most. Love chooses, and we all choose what we love the most. And what you choose reveals what you love. And the problem, of course, is that by nature, we love the wrong things. That's why we make the wrong choices. Scripture says that in the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But what's most striking to me about this verse is that what the apostle says next. He says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, the apostle is saying, look, there will be people who look like Christians, and they talk like Christians. They have an appearance of godliness, but they have never really experienced the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So while they can talk about loving God, what they really love the most is pleasure, money, and themselves. And that is why they don't continue. Somewhere along the line, they turn away from the Lord to what they love the most and abandon the faith that they once professed. So here's the principle. Love chooses. And we all choose what we love the most. What we choose reveals what we love. And of course, the problem is precisely this, that left to ourselves, we would all make choices to our own destruction. So thank God he has said, I will give you a new heart, and I will put my Holy Spirit in you. And if you are wise, you will ask God to fulfill that promise in you. You will say, Lord, give me a new heart and sustain that new heart within me. Deliver me from choosing what my sinful heart would choose. Cleanse my heart. Renew my heart. By your Holy Spirit, cause me to love what you love, so that I would choose what honors you.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Love. Now we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to this look at the book of Ruth in just a moment. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you two copies of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter. A journalist investigates the evidence for the resurrection. Now, in this book, Lee Strobel takes a look at the medical evidence that Jesus actually died, the evidence of his missing body from the tomb, and the evidence of his resurrection appearances. As you read this book, you'll have some more clarity about why you can believe in the resurrection. So we've got one copy for you and one for you to give away as our thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or again, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Love considers. Love chooses. And then lastly, love commits. Let's look at these beautiful words in verses 16 and 17. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also if anything but death parts me from you. Now, these words have been described as the most beautiful confession of love in all the world. And I can't imagine what words would ever beat it. Ruth makes this marvelous commitment to Naomi. And there are three marks of loving commitment that I want us to see in these last moments this morning. The first is that very obviously love commits to God. Your God will be my God. Now notice what is happening here. It's very beautiful. Ruth is saying to Naomi, now the Lord is your God. And I've seen that in you. I've watched you as you have loved God and as you have served him through the sorrows of not one but three bereavements. I have felt his love in my life through you. And I have seen what he can do for you. And in that, I have seen what he can do for me. What I have seen in you, Naomi, I want for myself. So your God has now become my God. I too will worship him. I too will serve him. I too will trust him. And I too will obey him. It's beautiful. Here's this woman who has won her daughter-in-law to the faith that she holds dear by the sheer godliness of her example. And especially in times of great sorrow, never underestimate what your persevering in faith through the most difficult times in your life will bring by way of fruit in the lives of others who observe you. And then notice that love not only commits to God, it commits to God's people. Your people, she says, will be my people. And that would not, of course, have been easy for Ruth. Naomi was going home to her own people. She was going to be welcomed by people who knew her and remembered her well. But Ruth was going to arrive as a foreigner in a strange land she had never visited before. Some people would no doubt welcome her with open arms. We'll see that later in the story. Others, not so much. But Ruth was determined that for her part, she was going to do everything in her power to love and embrace the people of God. And the sure evidence of new life is a new love for God's people. John says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Well, there's quite a statement. How do you know that you have passed from death to life? Well, he says, look at it. Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. This is how you know that the new life is actually in you. A new love for the people of God is evidence of his life being within you. If he's your God and his life is within you, you will have a growing love for his people, and Ruth makes that commitment that whatever life in the promised land turns out to be like, she's going to cultivate love for the people of God. And then the last thing here, of course, is that love commits forever. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Now, of course, when Ruth says to Naomi, the older woman, when you die, she is acknowledging that there will come a time when Naomi is no longer with her. Ruth knows that in the natural course of events, Naomi is going to die long before Ruth will. But you see, the point here is that Ruth's faith is not dependent on Naomi. She's not saying, your God will be my God for as long as you're alive. No, Ruth's faith is her own, and she's saying, God will be my God even when you die. Love commits forever. And true faith perseveres. It continues even when those from whom we learned it are gone. Now, let me end with this question. What do you know about this kind of love in your life? Honestly. What do you know about this kind of love in your life? A love that really seeks the blessing of God on others. A love that puts the interests of others before your own. A love that never forces itself, its will on another person. Is candid about the cost of commitment. A love that commits to God. A love that embraces God's people. A love that lasts forever. Maybe you find yourself, as I do, saying, I want to know more of that kind of love in my life. I want to love like that more. So let me end by reminding you where this love comes from. Jesus committed himself in love to God. His food was to do the will of the Father. Jesus committed himself in love to God's people. He loved us, and he gave himself for us. And Jesus has committed himself in love to us forever. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I've pondered these most beautiful words of Ruth, I've been moved to consider them on the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can you picture the Son of God before the incarnation in the glory of heaven at the right-hand side of the Father and saying of us, where you lodge, I will lodge. I'm going to come and live where you live. And where you die, I will die. And there, on your soil, I will be buried. That was the loving commitment of the Son of God to us. He came. He lived. He died. He was buried. But thank God it doesn't end there. He rose from the dead. And so uniquely he is able to say to every single one of us today, where you go, I will go. And wherever now or in the future you live, you lodge, there I will lodge. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Pastor Colin Smith, wrapping up our message, Love, part of our series from the book of Ruth called Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your financial generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter, A Journalist Investigates Evidence for the Resurrection. One copy for you, one to give away. And Colin, what might our listeners get out of reading The Case for Easter?
Well, I think the first thing is it's an absolutely fascinating read. I mean, Lee Strobel was an atheist when he began exploring the Christian faith. And in The Case for Easter, he retraces his own steps, showing the biblical evidence that led him to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. And the compelling evidence on which we can take a reasoned step of faith is really placed before us in the Gospels. The reality is that there are many people who've not seriously considered it. Well, The Case for Easter can help Christians come to clarity about why we believe in the resurrection, and it can help to provide a pathway to faith for someone who's just beginning to explore Christianity.
Well, we want to send you not one, but two copies of this book, The Case for Easter, is our way of saying thank you for your financial support, one for you and one for you to give away. You can give your gift online at openthebible.org or over the phone when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.